Tonight, one of our favorite people, Todd Belcour, rides sidecar. Then later, we'll talk to firefighter Todd Shuchuk about the National Anthem protest. And finally, we'll have a first-time performance for New Music Monday. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And it's a little bit sadder here today in Chicago. It's actually much sadder in our Allstate Showcase Studio at WGN. Yesterday, we learned of the passing of Professor Paul Green. And everyone here at the station has a different story, different experiences, and all of them just wonderful and delightful stories about how sweet he was, how funny he was. I was listening to Rokan talking about how Spike Odell and he had a sort of a taste for the hokey. And I was thinking, I was laughing because I would agree with that. I met him several years ago before I had a position here at WGN. His wife invited me to speak at an event at the Chicago Center for Performing Arts. She was the head of a women's health department at Northwestern. I'm not sure if she's, I believe she recently retired from that position because the last time I saw Paul, he told me that she had stepped down and had a lot of time on her hands. And we were joking about how she had, you know, a lot more time to kind of poke fun at him and pick on him a little bit. And I did not realize that when we were laughing about his wife and the relationship, how it had changed since she retired, I did not realize that that was the last time I would ever see him. We had talked about him coming on the show again. Craig and I had him on our show last summer, not long after Donald Trump announced his candidacy. And Professor Paul Green assured me that Donald Trump would not last past the first debate. And I teased him and I said, I disagree. I respectfully disagree with you. And I wish we'd had him on more, but he also told us that it was late in the night for him. And we really, you know, I know that he would have done it had we asked him to. But he had so many demands on him, teaching school, being on other shows here at WGN. And I knew that he would say yes. And now part of me wishes that I had asked again, because he was always delightful, so passionate about politics, sharing stories, his experiences, his insight. But when he saw me perform at the Chicago Center for Performing Arts, I was telling stories about my family. I shared stories about women's health, and he held on to a lot of that. So every time I saw him, and joining me in the studio is Todd Belcour, and I think you have this experience with certain people that you come across who are always remember that one story about you, and they have to bring it up. But it's kind of like having a friend of the family or someone in the family. And every time I would see Professor Green, he would say, he would be like, ah, there's my Mexican-Irish girl, because he would remember my material. And he would always ask me about my family. And we are saddened here that part of our family has left us too soon. Professor Paul Green will be missed. He brought so much to the discussion. As you all know, I love talking politics. I may not always be as articulate and as experienced as Professor Paul Green is, but I hope to continue that dialogue. I hope that you continue to join us in his absence, and we will always remember him. And so much of it, of what I do, is a tribute to voices like his. Part of this show is also in part due to people who have gone before me, Greg Adamski, the Wine Diva, all people that I wish would be here for all the fun moments that we have, and we miss them every single day. Do you ever have that, Todd, where you don't realize until someone, like, you know how much you enjoy being with somebody?
Absolutely.
And you almost feel bad for people who didn't know them personally when they're gone.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many people who are such a treat for us to experience. There's so much wisdom that they just naturally allow us to glean, and so much perspective and guidance that they give us without even trying. It's just a shame to lose someone of that importance to not just individuals, but to the city and to politics and to the personalities that we all hold dear.
No doubt. He was bigger than life. And you know, when you hear someone like that, look, this is all talk on WGN. That's what we do. We talk. But in the sense that it's a conversation, and some people might feel like they're outside the conversation because they disagree or they hear something that they take personally. And even in Dr. Green's case, he would often say something and people would always hear it their own way. And I have to tell you, if you ever disagree with Paul Green, and I know hindsight is once you lose somebody, oh, he was a good guy. And I hope that that's really the way, because you sometimes you see someone pass away and, oh, my goodness, Phyllis Schlafly last week.
Yeah.
That was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah.
There's somebody who was a lightning rod. Paul Green was arms open. Let's talk about this. What mm-hmm. does this mean for everybody?
He really defined what it was to be a moderator.
Yes, he really did. In contrast, when Phyllis Schlafly died last week, I was so surprised. I didn't disagree. I did not agree with her politics, but I certainly wasn't reveling in her passing. And that was jarring to me. Did you notice that on Facebook? There were a lot of comments that people made and photos that were unnecessary.
Yeah, you find that to be a moment where you expect people to demonstrate a little more respect for the passing of someone that's a legend, whether you agree with necessarily their points of view or not. But some people take that opportunity to get that last little nail in.
That last lick. Is it primarily politics? Because I can't think of other people that pass that are that, you know, sort of create that response.
Well, I think politics in general yields the most visceral response from people. So I think it's natural for them to get that last laugh, so to speak, when people take their, you know, head on home.
Well, working in the circles that you do, are you noticing a difference this year in how personally people take their politics, their opinions?
Yeah. I mean, really, I'm seeing the country divide into three pieces between the people who are supporting Bernie, the people who are supporting Hillary, and the people who support Trump, or people who won't admit to who they're supporting.
Right.
I mean, you've got folks who are holding their politics so much closer to the vest because there's so much more passion involved in it, and it's so much harder to really stand by certain candidates on all sides. So, I mean, you've got people who are very defensive, and as a result, you have a lot more really bombastic conversations, a lot more heated debates. And frankly, a lot more people are displeased with one another, unfortunately.
On the other hand, when you think of Alexander Hamilton, as everyone has in their minds now, as to how heated politics could be back then, or even Andrew Jackson, you know, Old Hickory. Or, I mean, there was a legislator in South Carolina who also got into a fight with a walking stick with a fellow legislator. So there is an element of, you know, getting too emotionally involved, you know, where the sort of reason leaves you and you become, whether it's verbally abusive or physically abusive, because I believe that happened just recently at a Trump rally yesterday, or was it today, that a protester was punched by yet another Trump supporter. Things are getting very heated, although I was surprised with how tempered Donald Trump was in response to the video of Hillary Clinton struggling and collapsing when she left the 9/11 memorial. That is something that has dominated the... Although, before that, what did you think on Saturday when she said that Trump supporters, it's a bucket filled with deplorable people? Did you have thoughts on that?
I don't think that's ever appropriate.
No.
I really don't. I mean, no matter how you feel about a particular subsect of people who support individuals, that's never a good way to describe anyone. It's not even accurate, let alone a good way.
No.
So, I mean, for him to take, in this case, what is a high road, especially by Trump standards, in response to her dealing with her illness and struggles, I think that you have to tip your cap to him. I know it takes a lot of coaching to get him to do anything, but especially to get him to do something, given those circumstances, even more impressive.
It was. But should we have to say that it's impressive that a candidate was human?
No, I think it's impressive.
Or was kind?
No, I mean, it's impressive.
It's so impressive that he was a good guy.
It's impressive that Donald Trump showed restraint in that circumstance. Absolutely.
Right. Well, yeah, because I wonder what it had been like if he had gone the other way. Do you think that there would be a backlash against that kind of language?
Well, you know, I think right now we're dealing with a really unprecedented time in terms of recent history. Certainly there's times where people are fighting with walking sticks. But for right now, you know, now people are legitimately wondering, well, what if Hillary Clinton's health is such where we need to find another candidate at the last minute? Or what if Trump is such a bad candidate that we just have to support the guy who doesn't know where Aleppo is? You know, that stuff.
Right. So,
I mean, there's a lot going on right now, so I think it's really it's worth taking stock and taking a step back to figure out what's really going on with American people.
Well, you bring up something that has been pointed out several times over the last few weeks, but even with Donald Trump's campaign, when he was saying things that were regarded as questionable or even too caustic when it came to disparaging this family who had lost their son. People were already talking about how do we replace him. Mm-hmm. But is that really coming from that campaign? And in the same sense, is that coming from Hillary's campaign? I know that we only talk about Hillary and Trump on Wednesdays and Thursdays, but all bets are off to this weekend because that was a crazy weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. But is it coming from people who want that to be the case? more so than reality?
I think generally we just have an electorate that's extremely disappointed. And they're looking for flaws to further embellish the case that it's time for us to find some excuse, even if it's after the nominating process, even if it's violating whatever sort of laws or procedures we have set in place to get the candidates we really want to see.
But how can people be disappointed if we went through the process?
Well, the majority of the electorate doesn't pay attention until around now.
Well, so then why aren't they disappointed in themselves?
Well, I think people have, yeah. Well.
I mean, everybody, if you're disappointed and it's because you weren't paying attention up until a certain point, how come people are going, you know what? Instead of being angry at these two individuals.
Well, it's much easier to point the finger at someone that's easiest to blame. I mean, for example, the Kaepernick situation, everyone's like, doggone you, Kaepernick. But then those same people will boo the president when he gives an address to commemorate 9/11. So it's
was he booed?
Yeah, you see that?
Yeah. I did not see that. She collapsed. I didn't see anything else. So I was getting it from all the angles.
You know,
where was
how
he?
Patriotism is represented. How how people who say they're rah rah for the country.
So the commander in chief is not considered to be a symbol of our country, in the same way that the flag is.
Not by the estimation of the people who are booing both the president and Colin Kaepernick.
Interesting. All right. Well, we have a lot to talk about. Join our conversation at any time. I did not know that. I feel like I have not been watching the news.
Well, I think only there's because the mainstream media is only showing the Hillary and Trump stuff. But, you know, that's why you have to go to the backwoods pages like I go to, Black Twitter.
But there's bears back there. Yes. And they lose because they won't kick. They got to go for the fourth. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is adjunct professor at, that correct?
Hey,
at right. Northwestern University Law School.
Previously, University of Chicago Law School.
I've heard it both ways. Is it now in Chicago? I knew there was a Northwestern.
Executive Director of Social Change, but I'm glad I was drowned out a little bit by the rock music.
The Executive Director of Social Change.
That's right.
All right, then. And you have a festival coming up.
That's right. The Chicago International Social Change Film Festival coming up September 23rd to 25th at the Showplace Icon. And we'll be showing films from all over the world, documenting different injustices, and providing people with the opportunity not just to see the films, but to speak with other individuals who took part in creating the films and had that robust discussion about what they can do to change the issues that are showcased in the films. And then finally, action opportunities, so people who are newly inspired and now educated on issues have a really easy and convenient vehicle to get involved and plug into whatever movement's afoot to do something about it.
How do you choose which films you will feature at your festival?
Yeah, you know, we have a really diverse film selection committee that represents everyone from all walks of life, and we all consider the films. We had to actually screen over 10,000 hours of films this year.
And choose to do this? You can't do that all yourself.
No, absolutely not. But we have some of our people who've been going to film festivals for a while, people who are actually filmmakers. We have people who are involved in the industry. And we also people who are community members who do things day to day, whether it be teaching or lawyers or whatever. And people who just have an interest in film. And the idea is to have as many perspectives represented as possible. So, you know, I may be biased towards an issue and there's people who can help me walk through that and make sure I'm not loading in the film festival with certain types of films. So I think we have a really amazing team, and the beauty of it is we do consider not just how inspirational the film is, and that's really important. What does this make you want to do something? But, you know, what issue does the film document? Is this something that we need to make sure the world hears about because it's not being covered on mainstream media?
Is there anything that still surprises you when you see these movies?
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, if you've seen so many hours of it, what do you have something that you just hadn't considered before? Because we often put things in the background, right? We see these, whether it's Nightline News or 60 Minutes, or they're highlighting something, you know, a tragedy or a miscarriage of justice, or you know, where people are really being subjected to inhumane situations, and we watch it and we feel bad, and then we just kind of we forget about it for a while.
Absolutely. And I think one of the films that really stood out is relates to that. I mean, even with my sphere being the criminal justice system, recognizing just the absolute pain that you cause when you separate a mother from their child because of their being disconnected due to prison sentences. And there's a program actually available where they allow the children to spend significant time with the mothers while in prison or outside of prison. And I think seeing that really human impact that has on the family, the individual, but also the impact it has in terms of saving community dollars, in terms of rehabilitation, and how much more successful it is when people have a chance to spend time with their family, that's something I encounter every day. But to see it and see the impact it has on a human and individual level.
Right, because you could mention to us, right, you could mention to us right now that there are programs that exist like that where mothers are able to spend time with their kids. But unless you see the kids, you know, I'm guessing in a documentary style, mm-hmm. they're able to follow the families in a way. Do you remember what communities that were, where was that happening?
Yeah, that was actually in Oregon. That's something where there's no reason for us not to emulate that program in Illinois and other states across the nation. And I think that's the importance of having a film festival like this to be a venue to provide us then with that story to attach ourselves to recognize the direct impact we can have by making a small change.
Do you think, as someone who has worked in the legal system for such a long time and you have had experience with inmates, people who have been imprisoned because of something they've done, do you imagine a way for us to change it? Do you have like dreams sometimes of like, we've done this, this has been done for centuries, where we lock someone away for something and basically in confined quarters with horrible conditions? Do you ever, I mean, if you've seen this in Oregon, are there possibilities to go, there's a better way to do this? Absolutely. Are we locked into something?
I think, well, both are true. I think there's a better way to do this. I think we are locked into it for multiple reasons. But let's start with the first question. Right now, our prisons don't even correct or rehabilitate.
Right.
They just incapacitate. So they just take people off the streets without providing the really structured opportunities necessary to help them overcome whatever obstacle may result in them being in prison in the first place. And that's a significant issue. If I have a drug addiction, me going to prison is not going to help me become less of a drug addict. It means I don't have access to drugs as readily. Doesn't help me get the girding and the real counseling and everything I need to overcome it.
Right.
If I have an issue with getting access to employment and that's resulted in me selling drugs or getting more engaged in the black market, unless I'm able to acquire skills and get the further education I need to get the opportunities that are available, then I'm going to have to recommit whatever crime in order to survive and support my family. And those are issues that we can actually do something about.
We are talking to Todd Belcore. He's an adjunct professor at the University of Chicago School for Law.
That's right.
School of Law. Law where they study school. That's Todd Belcore, and he has his film festival coming up. Tell us again the title.
That's right. The Chicago International Social Change Film Festival, September 23rd through 25th at the Showplace Icon Theaters in South Loop.
And we'll talk more about how we can make a difference in this world, whether it comes to the social justice, you know, in our communities, in our towns, in our country, or around the world. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is Todd Belcore, the Executive Director of Social Justice.
Social change.
Social Justice. I think you should just be the Director of Social Justice. You should be around, like, with a cape. Would it be SJ or will it be TB?
I love coming on the show because I'll always add titles and job descriptions and everything.
Adjunct professor at the University of Chicago Law School. How's that?
There you go. You got that 100%.
I got that one. This time, this half hour, I will. We were talking before the break. You have worked with legislation that is intended to help inmates better understand their rights. I know that one of the situations that when I met you, you were trying to change the way judges present the options for convicts. Is that correct?
That's right. One of the pieces of legislation I worked on was it really modernized the way in which people are informed on the consequences that they would potentially face if they pled guilty to a crime. And fortunately, Governor Rauner signed that bill, and that passed unanimously out of both chambers.
How'd you make that happen?
Well, that's the beauty of having relationships and, you know, having integrity within both parties. You get a chance to speak and tell honest.
Wait, hold on a second. What is this integrity you speak of? How does one hone that and then teach it to others down in Springfield?
Well, you know, you just hold yourself to a standard of, I'm just going to tell you the truth. If you give me a tough question, I'll be like, yes, that's a weak point in the legislation, but try to give your best argument as to why that's something they should still be voting for despite the maybe political risk they may be undertaking.
If there is a piece of legislation that you're working on, how many people are involved in rewarding that? Is it just you writing that? Is it just you?
Sorry for my expression. I was like, ooh, that'd be nice.
Isn't that a team of people? There are other, but there's like the banking industry has like a team of people, and the NRA has a team of people working on legislation. It's just Todd Belcore and here inmate rights.
Fundraising, crowdfunding, and everything else, so that can have the funding necessary to support the travel and support the food, the Burger King I like to eat, and all that sort of fancy stuff.
Is it because you saw this bag?
It is.
At some point, you and Craig, I don't know if I'm not going to do this to Esmeralda, just so you and Craig, I'm going to make you smell what's in this bag and tell me what you think of. Without even telling you what's in it. Craig already kind of has an idea of what's in the bag.
That's a high stakes game.
Is this another game we're playing? What's in the bag? What's in the box?
So you subsist on Burger King and integrity.
Yes.
Equal parts. Yeah, I think you should be able to get Burger King to sponsor the kind of work that you do.
It's worth a shot.
It is worth a shot. So you are involved in a lot of different areas of social change. In particular, like I said, when I met you, you wanted to make sure that inmates knew their rights when the judges informed them of what it meant to have a plea bargain. Is that what you were telling us? And I was asking you before the break, is there movement, are there possibilities of improving the way we punish somebody when they've been convicted?
Absolutely.
Because there's such a wide range of things. As you mentioned, if someone's convicted of drug possession or drug dealing in comparison to, and you know, a violent crime, and we've seen a lot of miscarriage of justice and in the eyes of many when it comes to sexual assault. That's been very frustrating for people. But even if you do convict someone like that, let's say you do convict a spoiled swimmer and the judge doesn't think he needs a very strong, prison sentence. Is there a way to, in prison, hope to create some sort of self-awareness in what they've done?
Absolutely. I mean, the initial purpose of prison was to provide some penitence, so people had space to really examine their life and turn their lives around. But what this current representation of prison does not allow, either the space for penitence, that sort of contrition, or also the opportunity to better yourself. Because
right.
Now we have a prison system that's overcrowded, with over 50% overcrowding. And we also have a culture within prison that doesn't really allow for people to build themselves up. It's more like a survival culture. So I think in order to really confront that, the first thing you need to do is release the pressure valve on the prison. So they have the people who shouldn't be there, give them a chance to get out. And that's why I offered something called the Fair Sentencing Act, where people who do have these sorts of low-level drug sort of offenses, or any other offense really that the General Assembly decides should have merits a lower sentence now than it did previously, give those people a chance to seek resentencing. Give them a chance to petition the courts and allow the judge to say, you know, previously this was a 2-year sentence for his drug possession, but now it's a ticketable offense, so you should be released.
Mm-hmm.
And that will do a lot to really allow some people to get out. So now you can focus more of the existing resources on the people who need the most to make sure they have the resources and services they need to overcome their obstacles.
Because one of the things that we've discussed on this show as well is the lack of will to prosecute and convict those who are involved in gun crimes. I was talking to a friend of mine who was working for the FBI, and they were telling me the rates at which people are convicted of those violent crimes and the rate at which they are actually imprisoned. Is that part of the problem? Is that there's a lot of it's easier to convict somebody of maybe, or people who plea bargain, right? People who are willing to take an offer and go, well, I'll take this. And somehow that's taking away resources from convicting our most violent offenders.
You know, I think that's something that we found to be true. I mean, when you have incentives to arrest people and you have incentives to get convictions, that means when you have people who are easy targets, those are the folks you get. I mean, we hear a lot about shootings in Chicago, but not a lot about catchings. So you hear about, you know,
yes,
33, 44 in a weekend, and we get so used to it where we're just almost desensitized to it, but not expecting the follow-up report saying 25 of them or 50% of them are caught. And I think until we really invest in the technology and the policing to make sure we catch those individuals, it's going to be hard for us to fill our prisons with the people who may be considered the most dangerous. And I think in terms of the actual case itself, and part of the reason why people continue to engage in these activities, not just hopelessness, but the fear, the thought that they'd be able to operate with impunity.
Yeah.
They don't think they'll get caught.
So if there are no consequences,
right,
why wouldn't you continue in that manner?
That's right.
I also wanted to know, how much of an impact does it have that prisons in so many areas are privatized? That there is actually, I remember and I'm not sure what the agreement is with Rauner, if Governor Quinn signed something, but I recall there being an agreement that the prisons in Illinois for the privately owned ones would maintain a 90% occupancy. When you have a number like that, when you have a target number, I would think that that affects the way people are prosecuted and the way they are imprisoned, the way they are sentenced. If you have a quota, it's almost, you know, we always make jokes about police officers pulling us over. Oh, it must be the end of the month. You know, they've got to fill their quota. Whether or not that's reality, you know, I'm not here to say. But I used to make a joke about if it's 90% mandated occupancy, then I'd be afraid to be pulled over too and be like, officer, what's the problem? We have an empty cot. No. I mean, does that have an effect?
I don't see how it couldn't, to be frank. I mean, that's why you have the proliferation of things like mandatory minimums. It removes the discretion from the judges to say, you know, even though your grandmother was 75, you got caught with a gun, so you have to serve 2 years of minimum prison sentence no matter what.
Right.
I mean, those are sorts of laws and pieces of legislation that people within a private prison sort of can't root for and actually actively advocate for to ensure that there's an active base of individuals who are cycling through their prisons and funding their operations.
Yeah, it stands to reason if you monetize something, people are going to want to make money.
Well, yeah, it creates a perverse incentive, right? To give someone money.
I want that to be a phrase, perverse incentive. I think that seems to cover a lot of ground. Go ahead. I apologize.
Another segment starting all over the place here. But I think, I mean, I actually have the same feeling when you get to healthcare and things like that. When you create an industry where people make money off the misery of others, it's a problem.
Yeah, stop making money off my misery. We are hanging out with Todd Belcour. He is the executive director for Social Change and has a film festival coming up September 23rd through the 25th. And where is that located?
At the Showplace Icon Theaters, 150 West Roosevelt in the South Loop of Chicago.
And he's also, in case you're wondering about his credentials, adjunct professor of law at the University of Chicago. 312-981-7200. I was asking him as well about this article in the New York Times. Murder rates rose in a quarter of the nation's 100 largest cities. Wonder where ours is. I bet you be wrong. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We're joined by the Executive Director for Social Change, Todd Belcour, whose film festival will be September 23rd to the 25th at the Icon Theaters, 151 Roosevelt Road. Did I get that all right?
150 West Roosevelt.
I've heard it both ways. 150. What happens at 151? Nothing happens there? I bet you they have 150 and 151. They're on both sides of the street. That's how massive it is.
Vodka.
He is also the adjunct professor of the only one. No, he's an adjunct professor of law at the University of Chicago. And I had been asking him earlier some, I think broad questions and not easy to answer questions about our prison system. He had mentioned that he saw a documentary about reuniting moms with their kids, even though they are in prison, and that Oregon has started a program that allows them to spend time with their children and how important that is, how impactful that can be. And I was wondering about whether or not we can change, yes.
I should add that actually the purpose of that film was not just to showcase the beauty and the importance of the humanity with connecting the children and their mothers, but the fact that the program was losing funding. Oh. So it was actually at risk of being completely lost, and it requires the support of the individuals who are watching the film to make sure we encourage that the funding be restored.
Well, that brings another question. In the last couple of years, how much has the rights of prisoners been pushed aside because of the budget problems that we have? Because there's a big line of people who need services.
That's right. I mean, in general, when you're talking about things like education and you're talking about things like healthcare, there's really no less sympathetic audience than people who are imprisoned.
Right.
So politically, it's just very easy to take away whatever services, no matter what the return on investment was. So even if you're actually doing more net damage to your economy, your community, and to the individuals, politically, it becomes such an easy way to go that it happens on a regular basis.
Right. And that includes access to health care, nutrition, health. Well, I've mentioned health twice because, you know, they're still human beings. No. People in prison are still, they're someone's daughter, someone's son, father, brother, cousin. But I think it's easy to cast someone aside and say that they're no longer worthy of having access to the things that the rest of Americans are.
That's right. I mean, prison is meant to correct, not to torture.
And I think people would prefer if it was. And I, you know, and I've mentioned this before. People have texted and called and said, "You don't know what it's like. I've lost somebody." We all have pain, And I've gone around and around on this with people. We can show our wounds, and then where are we then? It doesn't make punishing someone, torturing someone does not make your wound less. Revenge is what people go for, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, what I say in response to that is it's absolutely true that pain is unbearable, and I don't expect anyone to say, to tell people how to feel in that regard. But I do think that the best way to honor the fallen or the victims is to make sure that there isn't another victim.
That's the one, right? But people think, well, the person that did it then should be in jail. Yes. But to make sure that others are deterred from creating the same sort of havoc and tragedy in other people's lives.
That's right. So now the individual who's in prison, let's not victimize their family unnecessarily and forever. Let's make sure that when that person comes out that they're not creating another victim and putting ourselves in a position where our society is as strong as possible.
And I had asked as well about the history of prisons in the United States. And I was curious about this. So, of course, I had to Google. It's Googling with Patty Vasquez. But the development, and so there are various websites where you can get more information, but I didn't realize that prisons were not really even in existence before the 1700s, and it was not considered... I'm reading this right off of Google, by the way. It was not considered a serious punishment for crime and was seldom used. Instead, governments imprisoned people who were awaiting trial or punishment, and then they would receive more common capital or corporal. So that we're familiar with movies where we see someone publicly tortured, whether it's being drawn and quartered, a la Braveheart, or, hangings that we were all familiar with, electrocutions, things like that. Here, Dan's on the line, and he wanted to join our conversation. Hey, Dan, how are you doing?
Hey, Dan.
Very good, and yourself?
Very well. We're so glad you joined us tonight. What do you want to ask?
Well, I just had a question for your guest. I was thinking there is a sheriff, I believe it was out in Arizona, forgive me, because I don't remember his name, but his idea was to set up prison camps and have all his inmates dressed in pink from their underwear down to their Crocs. And I saw an interview with him one time, mm-hmm. and he said that he has very few return inmates just based on how... It's hard to be tough when you're dressed all in pink, for one, I'm guessing. And two, he has them working the whole time rather than just sitting in a cell. And I wondered if he thought that was such a great idea. And I thought it was ironic that we're having this conversation because I just drove past the Wabash Correctional Facility in Terre Haute.
And does it have that sign, please do not pick up hitchhikers?
I'm sorry?
There's usually signs on the road near prisons that say, please do not pick up hitchhikers. Because the concern.
No, please don't pick up hitchhikers, right?
Yes.
I could never do that because it's the one problem about prison is it's never nighttime. It's lit up like daylight all the time.
Yeah, they got the floodlights going. What do you think about that? I'm assuming I'm guessing he's talking about the sheriff in Maricopa County.
Yeah, that's right.
That's correct.
Yep.
And the response to that is I think shaming may be one way to make sure that people stay in place, but I think empowering it probably is a better long-term impact. So one of the things I recommend, and there's actually movements afoot to do this, is to give people the 21st century tech skill training and things like that. So we already have 1.2 million jobs in America that are unfilled right now relating to tech stuff. If we train more of the individuals within our communities to have these skills, then they can come out and get the meaningful paying jobs that they needed to avoid re-engaging in these systems. So while the pink outfits may be effective, I think in the longer term, it may be better for the individual and their family to give them more of the skills they need to be able to provide for themselves and their family.
Well, I agree with you completely, but my concern was, like Cook County, in a lot of cases, you have people put into Cook County who are friends, they're family, and it doesn't seem to be a punishment to a lot of these people because it's just like home.
Well, it's I've actually been in jail a couple times myself, not prison but jail, and it's really not comfortable or fun. But I will tell you that when you spend enough time there, you do get a comfort with it. But I don't
in a familiar way.
Yeah, familiar way, just understanding how to do your time and how to be navigate the different circles and things like that. But I think the most important thing to make sure you remember is it's still very uncomfortable, it's still very overcrowded, and most importantly that we want to make sure that at least if individuals don't take advantage of the opportunities to better themselves, that they're at least available. So we can at least point the finger and put it on personal responsibility at that point versus recognizing that we have a system that makes it impossible for people to overcome their issues.
Dan, I want to thank you. Go ahead.
I had one other thing I was going to say.
Sure.
I spent 15 years as a paramedic and saw the the horrible end of what some of these inmates do. And I think they get cut out way too soon, and which is why I think we end up with the violence back on the streets that we have. And I think that they had it right when they went after, just recently, to the Latin Kings. They picked up a whole bunch of them under the RICO Act. And I think if they looked at it from that point of view and started scooping up, because the Chicago police has come out and said they know 1,400 people that were almost personally responsible for most of the shootings going on in Chicago. And if they do that, why don't they go back and use a RICO to start rounding some of those people up?
I'm actually with you on that, Dan. I think if we have tools in a toolbox to allow us to get at the individuals who are actively responsible for terrorizing communities, why are we waiting so long to take advantage of them? I think RICO can be a bit of an overstretch in some ways, because that goes down to maybe the little cousin who's with the individual, so you get that felony murder attached to them, and they get punished the same way as individuals doing all the egregious things. But at the very least, if they have identified these individuals, there's no reason not to try to put cases on them as soon as possible.
Thank you so much for joining us, Dan, and thank you for bringing up the sheriff of Maricopa County, because I think that's an important part of the conversation, because a lot of people think about that. Have a great evening. We look forward to hearing from you again. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I'm joined by Todd Belcour, the Executive Director for Social Change,
yes,
and Adjunct Professor of Law at the University of Chicago. Tonight is Music Monday. We have some setting up to do because this is a large collection of talented musicians that we are going to share with you in just a little bit. First, we're going to talk about their event they have coming up, the Kieran Gornick Band, coming up on September 24th at the Harris Theater. You can go to chicagovoices.org for more information. But right now, with more information, we have Joe Kieran King, who has been in studio with us for the No Whining Day.
Yeah.
No Complaints Day. Yeah. What is it called again?
No Complaints Day.
See, I rename everything, Todd. It's not just you.
I do feel a little better now, to be honest with
you. Oh, yeah. No, it's everybody. It's just it's not my thing. It's just my flaw. Right? That's all. That's all. If you can just accept that.
I'd rather that one than
Joe mine. Accepts it. He doesn't complain.
Not at all.
He's a bigger guy than me, literally and figuratively.
I whine, though.
He's a big dude. And joining him as well is Sophie. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
Did you know you were going to be on a microphone?
I did not today.
Well, welcome. I'm glad you accepted our invitation. Tell us a little bit about Chicago Voices and the events you have coming up. Either one of you. You're looking at each other like we're not here. I am. Hello.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, Chicago Voices is a new project, right, from the Lyric Opera, and it is to bring community groups an expression of music mm-hmm. and their history and culture and how they've impacted their communities and people around, and give us an opportunity to express our music and our culture.
And what and community history. And culture would you
We're everybody in this room comes from the Balkans. We have people here that are from Croatia, from Serbia, and Montenegro, and other areas part of the world, but generally from that area. And our project has been about literally the 100 years ago, our grandparents and our ancestors came to this country and brought their lives with them, brought their culture, and they brought a piece of their homeland with them. And it gave us, and with that, you had the opportunity to be in America and be in the land of, you know, the American dream, but also have a part of your home with it. And this traditions and culture has lasted really over 100 years, and we're the current version of that.
And did anybody just by, you can just yell, was anybody forced to learn the music that you now enjoy playing?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Right?
That was unanimous, by the way. It did
seem to be unanimous. And looking around the room, there's a lot of lovely instruments. We have an accordion.
There is an accordion. That's Alex Seamich over there. He's playing on the accordion.
Mm-hmm. And that's hefty. Was that your first choice? You can just yell at me. Well, we might get you later, but no, it was not your first choice. It is a lovely instrument and seems to be popular in a lot of cultures, too. We always, we think of Polish, but I know even in the Mexican culture, obviously, we use accordions as well.
So yes,
it's
exactly.
It's a global mm-hmm. instrument.
Yeah.
It's very versatile.
Yes. And we enjoy Alex, too.
We are grateful for Alex and his accordion.
He's versatile as well.
Yes, despite his, perhaps not being drawn to it initially. And we have, so from that, we also have a standing bass.
That's a double bass.
Double bass.
That's Joe on the bass.
Hey, Joe.
Joe Gornick.
And a violin. Violin or fiddle?
Violin.
Violin. Oh yeah, well, she got. Did you see? Like, oh, that was like tight-lipped. She almost hissed that at me.
Yeah, she
violin.
Did.
She almost, a little bit. Just a little. No, you're great. And now the smaller guitars.
These are the rest of the instruments that you're looking at from Nick, George, Leah, Steve, and myself. Mm-hmm. We're playing something called tamburizas.
Sure, that's what I thought. I was thinking, you know what those are? Tamburizas.
You knew that.
Not even a little
bit. You were a soul scholar.
Not even kind of.
School.
A tamburiza is what, per se?
It's a... They're instruments native from the former Yugoslavia, found in Croatia and parts of Serbia.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all unique instruments. I would say that they... Somewhat of a cross between guitars and mandolin, but they're tamburizas. That's what they are. They have their own distinct sound.
See, it's his matter of factness that made me feel like I should know that.
I feel more confident just hearing him say it.
Yes, tamburizas. Am I saying it correctly? I'll change it later because I'll have heard it both ways. Sophie, where are you from originally?
I'm originally from California.
What? I'm always fascinated by people who come here from California. Was it family? Was it work?
Work.
It was work?
Yeah. Oh, it was for the weather.
Yeah, I was going to say, let me see what it's like to struggle a little bit, to not have it always be nice. What part of California are you from?
Southern.
Southern California.
Yeah.
And how long have you been here?
I've been here for about a year and a half.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm the only non-Croatian Serbian former Yugoslavian person here.
I didn't really. Well, neither are we. Does it help you?
I was wondering.
Oh,
I was like, well,
yeah,
maybe
right.
She's rounding me up into the circle.
Yeah, perhaps.
I'm honored. I like to be honorary of any sort of ethnicity I can slide
Croatian,
into.
Serbian, all those, yes. So what brings you to the group? Are you part of this organization or Chicago Voices?
Yeah, so I'm the animateur. That's my position with this group.
I feel like you're all just making up words. Tamburizas. Yeah. They're like, let's see how many words Patty accepts as legit.
Pretty much. Oh,
you're the animateur. I tease.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Animateur, yes.
So I've been working with this group. I was hired by Lyric Opera to help them create their piece of musical theater.
Okay.
And there's two other community groups in the performance on two Saturdays from now. Oh my gosh, it's so close.
24th.
Oh my gosh.
It's okay.
7:30.
So
it's way past your bedtime, and I'm grateful for you being here.
Thanks. So there's going to be Harmony, Hope, and Healing is the first group that you'll see on the performance, and then Tell and Tales Theater. And these are two other community groups that are working in the same way as the Kieran Gornick Band, creating pieces of music theater to tell untold stories from their community.
And do you have a little bit about the Harmony, Hope, and Healing?
Yeah, Harmony, Hope, and Healing works with people who have dealt with homelessness, mm-hmm. and they are primarily, I think, a singing group. I'm not the authority to talk about them, but they meet and do a lot of like music therapy work. Mm-hmm. Tell and Tales Theater is a group of people with all abilities and disabilities, mm-hmm. Who produce theater productions. And
that's wonderful.
That's incredible.
Well, so here's what I'm seeing for that weekend. I think on Friday what you do is you go to the film festival for social change over at 150th Roosevelt Road.
150 West
Road. I'm going to say 150th.
150th is Roosevelt.
Is another street. 150 Roosevelt Road on Friday. Then you go to the Harris Theater for Chicago Voices. You can go to chicagovoices.org for all of the performances. Yes.
And also, there are no more tickets reservable, but if you go beforehand, mm-hmm. there will be tickets at the door.
Okay, so this is what we have to do. So on Friday I go to your event, and then on Saturday I go to the, so you're saying,
to
at the
door.
Box office,
mm-hmm.
to the door.
Yeah.
And then how late is the film festival going?
Our last film shows until 9 o'clock, and then we have a reception until when people are done.
Until when people are done. So I see going to the reception after
I think there's room to do all of the above, certainly.
The event at the Harris Theater. Joe, now, how long have you been playing with all of the musicians in your group as helped by your animateur?
So Kieran Gornick Band is made up of myself, Steve Kieran, my cousin, mm-hmm. and then there's Nick Gornick right there, and then Joe Gornick on the bass. They're brothers, and we've been playing probably together 40 years.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I saw you play live at an event you invited me and Jen Kramer to about 2 years ago. It was wonderful.
Yes.
Was it last year?
It's probably 2 years now.
I think it is 2 years.
Pedorino's?
Yeah. Yeah, so good. I'm just saying.
A wonderful venue.
We can't talk about it right now.
Oh, really?
No.
Okay. No, we're talking about the Chicago. We're talking about the Harris Theater, ChicagoVoices.org.
Well, I kind of want to talk about it more now.
I know, right? It's too bad. You know what? You also can't talk about Cheetos chicken fingers until later. I'm just saying. I'm going to make everybody in this room smell that bag.
It's pretty late.
What's in the bag? What music are you going to play? Is there a title for the music you'll play when we come back from the break?
I think we're going to play something ethnic.
Okay, so I'm going to something ethnic after
is
we
is that the whole menu of songs then?
Is it something ethnic?
Well, we can play pretty a wide range of things, but I think in the spirit of
the event.
Our event, mm-hmm. We'll do
something ethnic.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's wonderful.
So when we come back, something ethnic with the Kieran Gornick Band and more conversation with our friends from Chicago Voices and the rest of the musicians. If anyone wants to sit down and join us for conversation after you play. Also, Todd Belcour, our social justice guru. How's that? I'm just going to social change guru. Why is social justice like a – why can't I say – even though it's social change, can't I say social justice?
You can. It's just not
because you're a lawyer. So I think that's why I put it all together. Social change.
Let's change
what's happening socially.
That's
more to this on 720 WGN. It is Music Monday in the Allstate Showcase Studio, and joining us is the Kieran Gornick Band. They'll be performing on September 24th at the Harris Theater. You can go to ChicagoVoices.org for more information. There's a violin, a double bass, an accordion, and a bunch of tamborizas. In studio, and here they are playing something ethnic.
All right, we're going to do something called Country and Tambora.
Which when the tamboras ring.
Country and Tambore, Tamborita Club, on my barista tea, yao, stavia, bas. Country and Tambore, Tamborita Club, on my barista tea, yao, stavia, bas.
I say,
do kraja, dođe komšija, pa me otjera. Daleko do zida, žena do kraja, dođe komšija, pa me otjera. Aj, zajvice, zajvice, rumena. Aj, zajvice, zajvice, rumena. Aj, zajvice, zajvice, rumena. Aj, zajvice, zajvice, rumena. Nije prošlo godina,
quick, woohoo! I'm getting questions from our listeners, from some of our viewers on Facebook Live. They want to know what kind of music that is, and I can't say something ethnic as a description, but that is Serbian, Croatian.
That song is from like Eastern Slavonia and Vojvodina.
There you go.
Two regions in Croatia and Serbia.
Come on and sit down for me again. For me. That sounded a little too authoritarian, didn't it? Come sit down for me. Joe, come sit down in a chair for me. First of all, let me ask you this, because you have a lot of musicians, and I should find out, does anyone need to get to bed earlier tonight? How late were you expecting y'all to stay? Just give me a number. Till four? You were expecting to stay till four? Well, we better get some food
then.
They
party hard.
Yeah. It sounds like it. So how many songs do you have prepared? So I want to make sure that just out of curiosity.
We'll play however many you want
to
play.
No, I want to know how many do you plan to sing? You had to come in here with a plan. You want to do four songs? Oh, that's what you're saying. That's a 4 a.m. Excellent. All right, so we have at least three more. So what were some of the lyrics that you were singing? I think people are wondering as well. Like, what was...
All right, I'm going to defer to Nicola there.
Nicola?
Yeah, Nicola. He's going to do better.
Can we hear him on that one?
tambura and drinking a wine.
Uh-huh. Oh, so it was about wine drinking?
Other, yes.
Of course. Well, you should have told me that before. You could say that. You just said something ethnic was your only description.
All our songs are about that.
Well, fantastic. So again, your event is on September 24th at the Harris Theater, and that's chicagovoices.org for more information. And Sophie, you're working with all three groups that will be performing that night.
I'm only working with these guys, and there's two other people who are doing my job who are working with the other groups.
And how many, do you have a rehearsal for them, like sort of making sure that, what is the difference between what they would normally do at a live event in comparison with the Chicago Voices?
So we have been working for the last 16 weeks together, and for the first like 4 weeks we went through a whole script writing process. So they talked about their stories from their past and their community. And then Rachel Claff, who's our amazing script writer, she put it into a script. Mm-hmm. And then we arranged this music to go with it. And they did a bunch of amazing original songs, which you have to come to the show to hear. And then now we're in the staging process. We're actually putting it up on its feet. So previous to this, I mean.
Because you have like 2 more weeks.
Yeah.
Before, right.
Yeah, a couple more weeks.
From Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One more week.
And Joe, what has the experience been like? I mean, have you been through a process like this where you've had to have a rehearsal and a script and things like that with your...
This process has been completely unique to us. We've never done anything like this that we've done here. It's really been the wax on, wax off kind of thing, like the Karate Kid.
So you've been broken down?
They had us. Sort of... Yeah, they had us do all kinds of different things that we were like, we couldn't figure out why they were asking to do this, like... You know, we had to play songs, play it like if it were somebody.
Sophie's like, yeah, that was a fun day.
It was.
Sorry, go ahead, Joe.
Just that, like, example was playing a song for somebody that, you know, we loved or that somebody would be affectionate for, and then play that same song as if that person left us. And we got totally different emotions for how we would play that song.
So they wanted to have a dramatic context for something.
Yeah.
And so is that hard to sort of reconcile with the way you've been doing? I see a nod in the back. Yes.
Yeah,
so
normally we just get in front of a crowd and we
play your music. Right. So kind of building it around a story. So how did you kind of bridge that gap between what their experience was and what you guys needed to accomplish in this presentation? Am I opening up? I feel like Todd, do you get the feeling like I've kind of poked?
This is a very sensitive topic.
I know. Do you want me to order some Grubhub so we can all like eat and hang out for this session? Come on over. No, you don't want to
order Grubhub.
Oh, order some Grubhub. Are you hungry? All right.
Let's get some wine too. Yeah. Then.
Well, I don't know what's
open
right now.
Go get that walnut liquor you had, Joe.
I have Kahlua. All I have is Kahlua in my office. Is all I have. I don't think I have anything. Oh, we have our cheap Patty wine, Craig. Don't we? Mm. We don't know how it tastes. So, okay, so. So you have this theatrical presentation in mind, mm-hmm. for this event. Why is that? Just so we can get an idea. Have they arrived at that understanding as to why it was like this?
As to why we wanted to put it on a stage?
Well, no, to make it more theatrical than just music.
Sure. I mean, I think lyric opera is lyric opera, and they put on these fabulous...
You know what? That's all she had to say. I don't even know why anybody tried to argue with her at all after that. She just had to say, because lyric opera.
It's true.
I don't know. I think...
It speaks for itself. Next question.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. No, it definitely makes sense because there is that sort of richness to it. And I understand also the resistance. Have been doing it this way. I've been through that process, Joe. I've had someone try to like reformulate what I do. Do you feel it when you guys lent yourself to it, that you found things that you didn't know that you had? Were there any surprises along the way? Joe is really stubborn. I get the feeling that Joe was Joe the most stubborn in this process?
Oh, yeah, I had my share of stubbornness.
Yes. How did it go on No Complaints Day?
We didn't have a rehearsal that day.
Why didn't you schedule it on No Complaints Day? That's like his thing.
I complained.
No, you didn't.
I did.
What did you complain about?
I don't.
You guys sound so good. No, you guys sound really good. This is going to be an amazing event.
Yeah, it's like the music of joy and happiness.
Yeah, it did. And I think that's why. I mean, I think that because when something comes so naturally to you and you've got it in your bones, I think that there's something really beautiful about what you guys are bringing to this event. So I'm looking forward to hearing some more music.
Okay, great.
And possibly ordering some Grubhub because she's hungry. Oh, we have our cheap. Here, do you want to drink some? Seriously, you want to drink some of my cheap wine? We can uncork.
It's got your picture on it.
I know. I said it was my wine. We bottled this right here. Craig, do you remember how long they said we were supposed to? Oh, why is it leaking? 8 months? How long has it been?
It's breathing.
Do we know if anyone's opened these yet? I don't know. We'll have to see. I need to take a break before we decide whether or not to try some of the Patty
Vasquez. If we have some wine, we got to do our GVO cheer.
And it's, what if I just have water? We can't do the GVO.
We can do it, but it won't be. It'll be like the wax on, wax off. It won't be as enthusiastic as it is.
Well, I didn't realize I was opening up some can of resentment.
Yeah.
That time it wasn't me, right? He did that. All right. More after this.
He set it up himself.
He did. More with the Kieran Gornick Band and our very own. Oh, you're our very own, Todd Belcourt. I've seen you promoting other radio shows. We'll talk about that later. More after this on 720 WGN. Joining us for Music Monday is the Kieran Gornick Band. They're performing on September 24th at the Harris Theater. You can go to chicagovoices.org. And they also have after this song, we'll find out about their festival of tamburitas coming up this weekend. I can't hear you as well on that microphone, so when you finish this, I'm going to make you play first, and then we'll talk. There might be some cheap wine involved. We don't know yet. Here they are. Do you want to tell us what you're playing now? If you yell it, or just something ethnic again?
Yes, we are.
Something ethnic. We'll dance to this one. Here's the Kieran Gornick Band.
This one's
band.
Fire, though.
This one's not, yeah.
Prošli što ti ljubav nisam dao, jer ti si samo prava ljubav tijela, gdje si me voljela. Prošli što sam tvoju ljubav krao, prošli što ti ljubav nisam dao, jer ti si samo prava ljubav tijela, jer si me voljela.
Opsaj!
A ja sam negdje rujno vino pio, a ti si me čekala, a ja sam negdje rujno vino pio, a ja sam negdje s drugom srećan bio, a ti si me čekala. Bila si žena koja zna da voli, i kada plače i kad suza boli. Bila si žena koja zna da čeka pojednog čovjeka. Bila si žena koja zna da voli, i kada plače i kad suza boli. Bila si žena koja zna da čeka pojednog čovjeka. A ja sam negdje rujno vino pio, a ja sam negdje s drugom srećan bio, a ti, ti si me čekala. Prošle dane uspomena bledi, možda se kajem šta to sada vrijedi. Neka mi boli tvoju suza vrela, jer si me vojela. Na prošle dane uspomena bledi, možda se kajem šta to sada vrijedi. Neka me boli tvoju suza vrela, jer si me vojela. Ajmo! A ja sam negdje rujno vino pio, a ja sam negdje drugo srećan bio, a ti si me čekala. A ja sam negdje rujno vino pio, a ja sam negdje drugo srećan bio, a ti si me čekala. A ti si me čekala.
That's the Kieran Gornick Band. They are performing on September 24th at the Harris. Yes, please applaud. And there's so many in here that it's weird to ask them to applaud for themselves, and they won't do it. So we are cheering for you loudly. There's whistling going on all over the city in our listenership. Sophie, we were talking earlier about the performance coming up at the Harris Theater that people can find out more about at chicagovoices.org. Does anyone besides Joe want to sit down? Or are you going to all let just Joe talk for you? I'm just curious. Just let Joe talk. Look, anybody else? Our violinist? No, nobody else?
What about the other?
Yeah, come on over here. You were mentioning earlier that part of the process is to give context to the music and give them a script and things like that. I have to guess that a lot of that is because it's a language we don't understand. Right? So it's a way to also convey that to an audience to help it land even more. Because we can enjoy the music, but that's, to me, like that song seemed like there was a lot of passion. Was that a love song? Because anybody?
Nicola.
Yeah. Nicola. I got the wrong guy. Okay, so what's your name?
My name's Nick. But
hey, Nick.
Nicola,
that's all right.
Is the guy who can
tell us more about that.
That song.
Well, I can ask you. So when Sophie was working with you guys in rehearsals, and she mentioned that you guys needed to put this in context, what was that process? As I was asking Joe, was that something that was like, okay, well, we'll put this in a different sort of format?
It was very different for all of us, I think. We go out and we play music. This is actually taking the music, creating a story. So you're actually having to act, emote, and do things, even though we emote. I think you may see that even here in the studio. But the idea of actually being on a stage, acting, reading lines from a script.
Not reading. Having memorized those lines.
We're not there yet. But performing from a script is very different than just getting on stage and playing stuff that you don't have to think about. So we've all had to step into a role that we normally don't step into.
And you are also playing a tamborita.
Yes, I am.
And was this the first instrument you ever played?
I think I started with guitar, but this is very much like a guitar.
Okay. So, that was going to be my next question. In what ways is it different than a guitar?
So a guitar has six strings. This has four.
Okay.
And it's an open G chord. So when I play this,
I was noticing that. Yeah. I was like, that G chord is wide open, Todd. I mean, like, it's just flailing around.
I don't know why you direct your attention towards me.
Well, you saw it, too.
Yes. No, I saw how wide open that was.
I didn't think it was mentioned on the air, because I don't want anyone to feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, no. Did you see how wide open? I mean, like, it's like it had its fly down or something. So the G, how does that differentiate? How does an open G chord, is a string, what is that? Can you?
So this is actually sounds like something, right? If you're playing a guitar on an open chord, it's...
It's held back.
It just doesn't sound like a natural. It's not something you can even play to.
Everybody behind you that plays the tambourines is like, what is he talking about? He is totally making all this.
Well, Joe, hit if Joe hits his open. What? Hit it open.
Hit it open.
Okay.
That's what you get with a guitar.
Okay. Yeah. Oh.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like crap, right? Mine sounds like a G chord.
That's because he's yanking at it. He like went... I saw him aggressively.
Someone sees it.
He was intense. No, you play beautifully, sir, by the way.
I think he did that for effect.
He did. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He was trying to show us the difference. So, but the difference is holding it, restraining it.
Yeah. You're talking and different chord positions, you know, and it's a higher pitched instrument meant to be the rhythm as part of this. Me and the bass provide the rhythm for that, so... It cuts through a little bit more.
And why is the violinist so far away from everybody? Was that just where did Bob make her sit in the corner?
Yes. Well, that's where the two best microphones were.
Ah, and you do deserve the two best microphones. What is your name?
Julie.
You all sound fantastic, by the way. I didn't mean to get in everybody's face with my camera, so I apologize. It was all for Facebook Live. And Bob Ferguson, you were mentioning earlier that we've never had anything like this before. You're right. This has been fantastic. We've had the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble, so we do a wide range, but you were definitely an eclectic group of musicians. And people were asking and responding wonderfully on Facebook Live, by the way. So I'm guessing that it's going to be a little bit crowded at the Harris Theater on September 24th. What is that? No, clarinet cannot do an open G. It blows that way.
Does the person on line one want to know about the open G chord or not?
I did. Yes. So the way it's different is that, first of all, there are four strings.
Yep.
It has an open G chord.
Yep.
And then what else happens?
Everything else is identical to a guitar.
Okay.
It seemed like you were playing another song a bit ago, too, prior to presenting this one. Are you all going to play that a little bit later? Not La Bamba, but the other one that was also...
Like, it had like a Spanish guitar.
The Besame Mucho.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
Oh, you can play Besame Mucho? I love that. All right, then. Let's find out more. Are you staying, then? Have you decided to stay?
I thought I was making a billy goat run. No.
Are you sure no one wants a billy goat? Like a cheeseburger or a grilled cheese sandwich? All right, then. You can go grab some. You were hungry. If you want to go grab some food, I'm not going to make you stay.
I'm waiting for you to share those Cheeto fries you got.
Oh, the cold Cheeto chicken fries.
You know Burger King's my calling card.
More with our guests. The Kieran Gornick Band performing on September 24th at the Harris Theater. You can go to chicagovoices.org for more information and find out more about the Tamburitzas Festival when we come back as well. That's this Saturday. And Todd Belcour, Executive Director for Social Change.
Yes.
And their film festival is coming up September 23rd through the 25th at 150 Roosevelt Road at the Icon Theaters.
That's right.
He is also adjunct professor of law at the University of Chicago. More with everyone when we come back on 720 WGN. It is Music Monday. You are listening pretty late. It is Music Monday. Are we doing one right now? Right? We should just do it right now? Sure. We have in studio with us I wasn't sure if we wanted to wait a little bit, talk a little more, but I think we're ready for some more music because Bob Ferguson has gotten everything sounding so wonderfully. Thank you again, Bob, as every Monday. The Kieran Gornick Band will be playing on September 24th at the Harris Theater for Chicago Voices. Go to chicagovoices.org for more information about that performance. Tickets are now only available at the box office the day of, but we have them right here live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, and they are going to play Besame Mucho.
Otvoriti, 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 popiti.
Wow, that was the Kieran Gornick Band right here in the Allstate Showcase Studio. They're performing on September 24th at the Harris Theater. You can go to chicagovoices.org. Did I say it wrong? Kieran Gornick?
No.
Oh, I was interested. You're all sweaty now. There's a lot of exertion over there.
I need some cheap wine.
Yeah. Here, you can open a bottle of Patty Vasquez if you want to see how that goes. Again, so much fun. That was really beautifully done. Now, Nicola, do you want to come over and sit down with us? Will you come and chat with us about some of the music that we've been hearing? Thank you. Yes, Nicola. By the way, not for nothing, while I was doing Facebook Live, you were back there with your phone. Were you looking for more lyrics?
Talking Serbian the whole time.
What are you? Are you texting with someone?
No. Just checking your live video.
Oh, you were watching the video. So yeah, were you some sort of weird time?
He's doing some quality control right now.
Yeah. What did
I
you?
I am in the quality control. Anyway.
Are you really?
Yes.
In what way are you in
I'm a quality engineer in a Lovejoy company.
Oh, you are.
Yeah.
So how? And what? So is it an assembly line sort of quality control or?
Well. That's something different than here when I talk about music, but yeah, it is a production, metal production.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's intense work. Is music a way that you get to kind of unwind and spend time with your friends and family?
I'm more in a folklore and a dancing. And they invite me.
You prefer
me
the dancing? You're yes, like, you yes, guys go ahead and play
I'm
your.
I'm in a folklore dance, and they invite me to help them out on a stage and more about. Dancing and then music.
And where? What's your hometown? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Pančevo in Serbia. That's a Vojvodina region, whereas this tambura music very popular. Mm-hmm. I grew up with that, and I love it, and I cannot have enough anytime.
It's buoyant. Is that a good way to describe the music?
Well, it is buoyant, and also has a dynamic, and also has a lot of other. Way to express this, and we like to listen and dance with that.
Well, there's also a sense of urgency to the music.
This all the time. I mean, we love music, and we can't live without it.
It's like, must have it now.
I don't know what I'm going to do without tambura after this project is done. I'm going to have to come and visit you guys a lot.
How long, Sophie, how long have you been working on this project?
This is week 16. So yeah.
Wow, that's been quite an extensive process. Everyone looks a little bit shell shocked. How many days a week are you rehearsing?
One day a week.
Okay,
we have a big chunk.
A long day. I like that. No one's gonna let it go. This is perhaps a pretty late first when it comes to Music Monday.
Don't overlook it. It's a long day.
It's a long.
One more
day.
Time. It's a long day.
It's the way we like the way you said it, Todd.
I'd rather not repeat
it. All right, then. We enjoyed it a little too much.
Every time it gets near 1 o'clock, you always try to make me blush. I don't know what it is.
I know. It's just fun for me. So, Nicola, I was asking about the second song and the lyrics in that music. Was that a love song?
The last one is actually...
Not Besame, the one before that. There was a middle song.
Oh, this one is more about a love song, but it says like you were waiting for me and I was happy with someone else drinking wine. That's generally what's the direct translation.
Yes.
But it's a more emotional song and it express her missed love. You know, she was waiting for him, but he was with somebody else.
Oh, there you go.
Well, happy.
I now feel guilty for being drawn to that song. I'm
sorry. We have to have a drinking wine.
There's no guilt involved in music. It's the pain. Let them do the pain for you. So when you collaborate with the Kieran Gornick Band, something that, because you mentioned that you're more in the folk dancing. So do you play any instruments? Because your singing was fantastic.
Thank you. I play a little bit frula, but just for fun, and they always laugh, and I play.
Yeah, they were just laughing now. Yeah, I don't know what just happened now. There. But
as a matter of fact, Joe was teaching my kids for 7-8 years to play tambura, and he's an excellent teacher, and That's how we get together. Of course, any event they play, I go watch them and follow them. And so I'm already 10 years in this extravaganza where I also taught dances. And then I love this tambura. So they're here and they're really good. I mean, I want to say the best. But that's enjoying.
Does it make sense? I mean, because I get why they're sort of like a why do we have to do this sense of putting it in context with the with a script. But does it make sense to you to help it land for an audience? Because, I mean, again, it's one thing to enjoy music, but it's another thing to sort of have, you know what it is? It's connective tissue. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Sort of that weaving of a tale through the music.
Yes, the music and the dance go together, and that's how we merge together.
Wonderful. More music in just a little bit from the Kieran Gornick Band. Again, go to chicagovoices.org. Todd, are you staying a little bit longer? I have a conversation we have to have, so I'm not letting you leave. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. It's up to you. You can go. I'm not going to make you stay. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. For several weeks now, we've been talking about the controversy about the protest by Colin Kaepernick, who plays for the San Francisco 49ers. His decision to take a knee and sit down and certain occasions for the national anthem has drawn a lot of attention, some support and some derision, and some people who are very angry. A lot of people who have said, I'm not really comfortable with this form of protest. I think that there's the whole gamut. There actually are people who are kind of in the middle. They want to support protest, but they're not really thrilled with the way he's gone about it. There are other people who, I mean, his jersey has become one of the top selling jerseys for the NFL. And I wasn't sure. I whenever I heard someone say, well, I served in the military, And I listened to both sides of that. There are people who've served in the military and said they support his right to protest. There are others in the military who have said, I fought for this country and it really hurts me, and it hurts the people I've served with. It hurts me to think of their memories, people I've lost, people who've been injured, to see someone protest and be disrespectful. And I've been uncomfortable in the whole conversation, and I think that is part of the point of protest and to have that conversation. But I wondered whether or not there perhaps at this point in the conversation is a different way to go. And that's when I saw a Facebook post from our good friend of the show, firefighter Todd Chuchuk. Thank you so much for writing this, Todd. How are you doing tonight?
Good. Real good, Patty. How are you?
I'm very good. And I think because the opening day for the NFL, primarily, I mean, they had a sort of, I guess you would call the initial game was last Thursday. But yesterday was a big day for remembrance of 9/11. And it's been 15 years now. It doesn't make it any easier. The distance and time has not made those wounds and that loss any less significant. And you wrote something very, I thought, profound on Facebook. Do you want to share your thoughts on Colin Kaepernick and other football players that want to protest by sitting out during the national anthem?
Well, I don't really have a problem with them doing whatever they want to do.
Right.
I see, I go to Cubs games, I go to hockey games, and everybody participates in the national anthem their own way. And I just it's getting to a point now where people are coming out so against it. But at the same time, I see people at a Cubs game. They're rushing to get a beer. They're trying to, they're not taking off their hats. People are talking during the national anthem, and that's fine if that's what you want to do. Me as a person who works for the fire department, I've lost a couple of friends that, more acquaintance than friends, but guys that I played ball with in the 9/11 attacks. So to me, it's a very personal thing. And when I see, you want to make that stand, this was not the day to do it, in my opinion. I appreciate the fact that they want to make a stand. The conversation has to get going, and it has to move in the proper way. But this was a day that people who were not involved directly with the military, I know military personnel died at the Pentagon. Mm-hmm. They were just doing their jobs. This was not an act of war. This was an act of terror. And it was something that, we need to remember those people that lost their lives and the families who lost the people who did lose their lives. And, I feel very strongly about that. And it's... it's time to move on and get the conversation rolling, but not in a situation like this.
Well, and I think that's why your post caught my attention, is because I know you. I mean, we've only kind of known each other over the last couple of years, and I know that you're the kind of person that would stand up for anybody's right to voice their opinions, to say, hey, I'm hurting, and this is something that is important to me. I know that you're a very honest guy, and I was struck by this because you weren't saying that don't do this, and you hadn't said anything before. The several weeks that led up to yesterday, you hadn't posted anything one way or the other, but it was right. Yesterday, because I agree that the protest has been made and continues to need to be made. But at the level that Colin Kaepernick took this, I think there were a lot of different ways to go. And I think that there is a way to then push away the people that would be supportive, would be in the sort of idea that, yeah, this is, people are in pain. Todd, does that make sense? That at this,
yes.
I'm sorry, Todd Belcourt also joins us in the studio. I just realized I have two Todds. No, you're fine, Todd.
Hi,
Todd. How you doing? You both have your voices.
He's a cool Todd.
Well, your voices could not be more contrasting. I mean, like the contrast is significant because you have like this sort of smooth velvet voice, and Todd has the kind of voice that we all want him to read like soft core stuff for us. Not that you wouldn't. You could sing us some jazz, Todd Belcourt.
No, she asked me to stay on for a segment about defending freedoms, and now we're talking about soft core.
Well, and that's all part of the First Amendment, right? am I making sense in that? And when is protest convenient, I guess, is not really the question.
Yeah, I think that's actually the point of protest, is to do so when it's inconvenient, so then it makes other people be more aware of an issue they may otherwise be inclined to either completely ignore or otherwise not have under their radar and feel compelled to do something about it. But I think to your point, it was pretty clear that sometimes protest has the opposite impact. The idea is to agitate and create attention and consciousness, but sometimes it does turn people off and make them turn away from an issue that they may be willing, under the right circumstances, to act upon. But, you know, that's a thin line, because there's a lot of people who've been saying for a long time, well, where have those people been who've been concerned about some of the brutality that's been taking place for the last 50 years?
Right.
If now it's risen to the point where everyone seems to at least be aware of it.
You mean the people that are upset that they're protesting?
That's right.
Well, then where were the people protesting before? Where was Colin Kaepernick before the beginning of the season protesting?
I don't think that's right. I mean, that's worth asking. But if you check his Twitter account, he's been actively trying to awaken people for a long time.
Oh, yes. Okay.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I think, and you know, it's just this different line of thought on this. I mean, one way to think about it is the best way to honor those who've fallen in the name of freedom is to exercise that freedom. And if you feel like people that you know and love, or at least others that you identify with, are being disproportionately mistreated, I think there's no better time to make that stand and fight for that freedom and for their own inability to, you know, live life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness than the national anthem.
Todd Chuchuk, what has what have your fellow firefighters been talking about? I mean, have they been sort of divided on this over the last few weeks, or has there been kind of a unified, like, this is messed up kind of a thought?
Well, it's, you know, everybody's got their own thought, and we all know that because we work heavily in the communities, we all know that there has to be change. Unfortunately, it's such a touchy area. You know, all the police that I have worked with, that I've gone on calls with in the areas where there's been disturbances or there's been crime, basically, they've handled themselves very professionally, and it's heartbreaking for them to see what's been going on. And, you know, because of what has happened in other areas, it's hard for them to even de-escalate the situation.
Right.
Because immediately they have 20, 30 people in front of them, and they're, you know, they're harping them. And I'm not trying to put down the situation that, you know, they understand it too, because a lot of these officers are African-American that are showing up on these calls, and they're getting it. And they're like, look, we understand. And the guys that I work with on the fire department, you know, we're an intertwined group too with different backgrounds. And we all feel the same way, you know. But we go out on a call, and honestly, it's getting to the point now where we're like, is this going to be our last call?
Right.
Because they're not just targeting police. They're not just targeting their own neighborhoods. They're targeting anybody that they want to. And that's obviously, you know, I'm not lumping anybody into one group. it's the perception that the police are out there and they're trying to do harm. There's the perception on our side that, you know, we always have to be looking around to make sure that we're in a safe situation. So it's a very tense situation out on the streets. But we're all unified. I would say on both sides we're unified.
I mean, it's well evident, but it's worth reiterating that, I mean, you all are heroes. You all are going at the front lines of the most serious issues that we have in our communities to save lives and be standing in the gap for those who aren't able to do so for themselves. So certainly no one's condoning any abuse, whether it be physical or verbal.
Absolutely.
So what I wonder, though, I think if we had some substantial progress in terms of maybe reform that's more of pronounced and more made nationally, I guess, on the radar, or some mm-hmm. other progress that we can say is tangible, do you think that I have an equally tangible impact on the way police and community relations would be?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, and they're always working to get that. They've been asking for help in the communities to bring them closer together. You know, that's why I believe that the CAPS was first brought up around, so that the communities could work with the police. Unfortunately, you have to have a presence, and until something happens, you don't have that presence at these meetings. It's an ongoing thing with the community. There might be an officer who says, you know what, I can't make that meeting tonight. I've got something to do. There might be families saying, you know what, this doesn't concern me. I'm not going to make it to that tonight. And it has to be an ongoing thing. And I think that we are getting to that point. We're a neighborhood firehouse, and we constantly are talking with the neighbors. We have a very good relationship with our neighbors, and it's a very diverse neighborhood. And, I can only say that I think that it's moving forward the way it needs to be. I have a brother who's on the police department, and, you know, he's as involved as he possibly could be in the communities he works in.
I was looking at the feed now after your post that was earlier this afternoon in regards to the protest by several right. NFL players. Has this been the biggest response to anything you've ever written on Facebook?
Yeah, pretty much.
and it looks like it's not entirely in agreement with you. You have one guy who wrote one very long post. Has anybody messaged you and been like, hey, dude, or has it all been it seems like a great conversation is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's he's a conspiracy theorist, so I just take it as it comes with him. If you ever wanted to go read his page, you can just see what I'm talking about. Much, but he's way out there. I think he's got some good peyote or something.
No, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, well, no, not until I'm retired.
yeah, you got to watch out for those spot checks.
Yeah, uh-huh. Right.
Smart enough not to say it on the record.
That's
I applaud
right.
you for
no,
that.
But, you know, they still, even with his post, I mean, that's his feeling. And, you know, I replied to him just with a simple, good for you.
Which I love. It's so like succinct, and who knows what that even means? Because you can't type with intent. It just says good for you.
Yeah, it's like bless your heart.
And you know what? I mean, if he's got those feelings, and I know he's a Caucasian, and it's at least he's in the mix of what he sees is going wrong.
Right.
And that's fine. You know, and that's exactly what needs to be done, and we do have to come, and we do have to move forward. There's no reason for any of this to be going on anymore. It's 2016.
Yeah, I agree. Todd?
I think you brought up a really good concept, and that's the notion of being in the mix. I mean, what do you think we need to do to get more people involved and engaged in trying to solve and address this issue?
You know, it's just neighborhoods coming together. It's we are a racially divided city. I think that we could all agree that when the projects went up, I think that, in my personal opinion, I think that that was the first Mayor Daley's way of separating and keeping people in check, not necessarily, it started out for the immigrant maybe, but then it moved to a different way of going, having better programs for after school. And I don't think that the teachers are rewarded enough as far as what they try to do. I'm friends with a ton of teachers, and they try to do everything they can to get kids moving forward. again, it has to go with, you know, community, family, siblings. I mean, we've all seen siblings where you have an older brother and the younger brother picks up right where the older brother left off because that's what he grew up watching. And, you know, we have to kind of not necessarily break that chain, but get the, you know, my dad ruled with an iron fist when I was a kid. If you saw my older brother doing something wrong, he gave him a smack. It wasn't, you know, it was discipline. It wasn't beating. And I saw that and I said, you know what, I'm not going to do that. And I learned from that. And that's, you know, and I think that the conversation in families has gone by the wayside too. It's like, he's just a teenager. No, that's the time you get him. That's the time you say, hey, look, this is how you have to change. This is what you need to do. This is how you move forward. And I had those conversations with both of my kids, and I never had a problem with them.
That's the thing is, I think consequences are, it's so hard to figure out how that plays into whether it's raising a child or being a part of the community and going, hey, if this happens, like even just when you see kids in your neighborhood, you know, and we always talk about like the parents not being there or not having a father figure. Sometimes we have to be each other's each other's brothers.
Well, it takes a village. I think there's truth to that. I mean, but I think on the other side of that, we certainly need to expect more civility out of the community members and civilians. But, when you see things on YouTube and Facebook of people being shot in the back and things like that, you also want accountability to go both ways.
Sure. So without a doubt.
I wasn't sure if you had any thoughts you wanted to share with us about any of that type of stuff in terms of kind of lying on police reports, body cams malfunctioning, people being shot in the back, and some of the issues that enrage folks who may be less inclined to be.
I think firefighters, and I know that he has family, and you both have family members who are in the police
department. I've got two brothers who are police officers and a cousin. And we talk about this, how to get through this, because we all seem to agree that the best way to root out this issue is to have empower police to do more to keep their own in check. Just like you ask your family to keep them, you know, brothers and sisters and all that in check, the same thing should be held true for police. So you provide more protections for them and make sure that when they do decide to say, you know, that officer is consistently acting in the wrong, that they're protected and not at risk of losing their lives or not having support or backup when they need it and those sorts of things.
Right. And, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's a matter of, are you going to say something? Are you afraid of saying something? You know, it's a tough road. I mean, I know that, you know, when we have something at the firehouse and something goes wrong, we all have each other's backs. But at the same time, there is the accountability that is there. If we screw up, you know, we don't, if you lie about it and it comes out, you're going to. Even worse, you're going to get held criminally. You're going to get held everything else.
Right.
You just make sure that you follow the line that you're supposed to follow. And as long as you do the best of your ability to your job, then you really don't have any matters that you have to worry about. I mean, I guess that's the best way that I could put it.
Todd, I want to thank you both so much for having this conversation. And Todd Chuchuk, I know that you didn't figure on getting a call from me like, hey, I loved your post. Let's talk about it. But yeah. I do appreciate your thoughts. And it really did. And you thought I was going to give you a hard time, too, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
No, I was because I hadn't. Look, everybody is usually just angry. I think that you laid it out in a way that was passionate and from the heart and wasn't accusing anybody. You agreed with the need for protest and for change. And I think that's where I saw a difference from what a lot of people were posting. So thank you so much for that and for everything that you do as a CFD. And we just can't thank you enough. And I know it was a long, hard weekend. And every day that you go out to work, no one knows how that's going to turn out. So thank you for doing that job. Oh, thank you, Todd. Have a great night. We'll talk to you again soon.
You too.
We got to have a pizza together or something. We got to go to the Iron Horse.
Yeah, we do.
We do. All right.
I've been meaning to. All right.
Me too. Have a good night.
All right. Take care.
More after this on 720 WGN. I turned my own microphone off. More after this on 720. More music from the Cure and Gornick Band when we come back. We are live in the All-State Showcase studio. Todd Belcourt has been trying to leave for the last hour. He's going to sit down. There's only a few more minutes left with the Cure and Gornick Band. They are performing on September 24th at the Harris Theater. You can go to chicagovoices.org for more information about that performance. Here they are live. Did you guys give me a name for this one or just more something ethnic? Okay. All right, then. Here they are. Here's the Cure and Gornick Band one more time.
smog, prijatelja jedino, najsretniji dan će dan, jer ne bije više sam. Jer nam je teši dan, sud nam se sreći dan, ali miro sud na sve, od mene ga odvede. Život našao, a ipak nadam se i zovem te, vrati mi se, ramo ti, što bi mi se izveli. Aj, ramo, 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 druže moj, ramo, ramo, druže moj, da li čuješ je caj. One big family. We are big one family. We are one big family.
Yeah. That was the Cure and Gornick Band. They're playing live at the Harris Theater on September 24th. You can go to chicagovoices.org for more information. Todd, you can't get that anywhere else, just so you know. And Todd's staying with us because I've asked him to help me talk about the Cheetos chicken fries coming up after the news. You know you want to talk.
I'm not versed. I'm not an expert. I do not qualify.
I want to help you with your culinary choices. Sophia, everyone from the Cure and Gornick Band, thank you so much for joining us for Music Monday. We look forward to having you back next show.
Thank you.
Of course. Next time, I promise, food and drink for everyone. We'll figure out who brings what. Thank you so much. Again, go to chicagovoices.org for information about their performance. Tickets are now only available at the door the day of, but we're hoping that... And by the way, if you can't get in, we'll go hang out at the Social Change Film Festival at the Icon Theater, that's 150 right. Roosevelt Road, September 23rd through the 25th.
Don't try to get on my good side now.
Okay. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And I was out and about today, and I saw a sign at a fast food restaurant. Do you ever notice the marquees like at fast food restaurants? Esmeralda or Craig, like Golden Nugget always cracks me up. That's not fast food. It is a dine-in restaurant. But they'll have signs that say, like, on special, cottage cheese stuffed tomato. And I'm like, why would you publicize that?
With a diet special.
Yeah. I'm always like, why? How is that on your marquee? I'm guessing that a tomato stuffed with cottage cheese is not drawing a Craig Collins.
I'm not going in for that, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember, and it was the one on, like, off of Western and Fullerton, and I always laugh. I'm like, why would you do that? That's not bringing me in. But I was driving by the Burger King on Western Avenue, and I saw the billboard said Cheetos chicken fries. And you know partly why I pulled in, Craig? It was because when the Dorito tacos popped up, I never had
them. The Locos tacos?
The Locos tacos.
Yeah.
I've still not tried one of those.
They are delicious.
Are they? Esmeralda, are you on board with the Dorito?
No.
Have you had one?
The Locos?
Nope. Yeah, she hasn't
had one. The
Doritos
Locos?
I may have to get one on the way home.
Do now, either of you like the Taco Bell, or are you against that too?
I like their Santa Fe menu, actually.
Okay, yeah.
The little Esmeralda, you're not a Taco Bell fan.
No, there's so much Mexican food in the city of Chicago. There's no point.
But there's no drive-thrus.
You can't get out of your car, really?
You know what? Does somebody have a drive-through review segment?
By the way, yes, there is. There's one over at Lincoln and Addison.
There's a Lincoln and Addison
Taco Burrito King, I think. Or it's a Taco Burrito something.
I've been to a TBK last week, and that's some dicey. I mean, like, it's fine when it's 4 in the morning and you got to have something in your face.
And really, that's better than Taco Bell?
It's not. I don't know that. Well, I mean, like, the beans are...
I would go for the mediocre Mexican food over Taco Bell.
You know what it is? I think I actually kind of like that smoky salsa that they like, the little packets of hot sauce.
Yeah, they're great.
I don't know why I like those
so much.
Hot,
they're mild. All the options.
I do like mild.
Yeah, I like mild too.
I'm kind of a fan of mild.
Right, there's fire.
There is fire.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all smoky. Wouldn't you say that they're all kind of...
I think they are kind
of
smoky.
Is that the tin foil from the inside of the packet? Is that what that
probably.
Flavor is?
Probably. I think that's a little bit of it.
But you like the low...
I like all the products at Taco Bell. I can't eat them anymore, but I miss and enjoy them.
They have to have a gluten-free...
I don't think... Well, actually, the shells are probably gluten-free.
They're corn.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe
I can have that stuff.
Do you know if Cheetos are gluten-free?
Everything I've read is that fast food is dicey because it's mixed with stuff. And yeah.
Cross-contamination is your enemy.
That's not my friend, right.
Yeah, that's your enemy.
So I can't have these Cheetos that you had.
I don't know if it's... Now, I made you smell my bag.
What? This is accurate, yes.
Yes, I made you smell my bag.
You brought the bag in here.
And to be fair, that's been sitting in my car for the last 5 hours.
I don't think it smells any different than fresh.
It doesn't because...
Okay.
So I doubled down because I was in the drive-thru. I haven't been to a Burger King drive-thru in a long time. By the way, I am kind of a fan of their French toast sticks, which is also something you can never have again.
I'm aware, yeah. Yes. Their Cinnabon options are all wonderful.
I haven't had those in a long time either. I'm a fan of the Whopper. I actually like the Whopper, the Junior Whopper. Would you do that without a bun? Can you go...
No, that makes no sense.
Bunless?
Could I bring my own bun and just have them meet me?
I think you should.
Okay. Just hold my bun out and have them meet the bun.
Can I watch you put that together and not touch my bun?
Yeah.
Bring your own bun.
Go prepare it myself in the back?
They should have a register for that.
They should.
Bring your own bun. BYO bun.
I love this idea.
I think it's a great idea.
I'm calling Burger King.
Are you... curious about how these Cheetos... I mean, like...
I am curious for sure.
Would it be something if you were not...
I try all that stuff. Yeah. I used to. I mean, I actually do like the KFC Double Down. I thought that was a great option for a food product. I thought it was wonderful.
Esmeralda, how about these other places? Aside from Taco Bell, is a Cheetos chicken fry something that you would wrap your lips around?
I have seen it.
I'm sorry.
In all the little Facebook quick videos that you see of people cooking things, mm-hmm. I have seen a chicken tender with a Cheeto crust.
Ooh.
And it did not look bad. I don't really trust it from a Burger King, but
you know what's interesting?
The idea sounds appealing.
It's compelling. I agree. Well, that's why I was compelled by the Taco Loco. Loco Taco? Is that what I've never had it.
Locos Tacos.
Locos Tacos.
With Doritos.
I will say, so I'm looking at the picture of the Cheetos. There is an element, first of all, if we're going to do a review of it, first of all, just looking at it, right? It is not the fluorescent bright orange of a Cheeto. This is more of a browned. Maybe they haven't gotten it quite down at that Burger King, because I will say this. So it's got this cute little box. So when you order your Cheetos chicken fries, they give this cute little, the cheetah is on the box, but he's got a beak. Get it? Because you're gonna have chicken fries. But when you open the box, it says dip with both paws. And I pulled into a parking spot after going through the drive-thru. So it says dip with both paws. And I looked in my bag and there was nothing to dip it in. And I thought, well, now I've been gypped. So they have not gotten this down yet at the Burger King's as to what goes with. Because usually when you get something that's dippable, they say, what kind of sauce do you want?
They almost always ask what kind of sauce you want.
What would you do? What kind of sauce would you think should go?
Oh, goes with a Cheeto fry?
Yeah, it goes with a Cheeto chicken fry.
I don't know.
Right? Because it's confusing.
Maybe honey mustard?
See, that's what I should have done. I think sweet.
Ranch.
Oh, see, ranch also. I went the wrong way.
I don't know. Ranch with cheese and meat.
See, it's confusing.
Right.
Ranch goes with everything. Right. I just dipped a slice of pizza in it earlier.
No, that's actually delicious.
Oh, yeah. That sounds really good.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
And blue cheese dressing is good if you dip a pizza in that too.
That doesn't sound good.
I went with barbecue sauce. I think I made a mistake. Yeah, Esmeralda's agreeing.
That's
a classic decision, though, with the chicken fry. So.
But the Cheeto. So you've got the cheddar.
Right.
The tangy.
Have you said how much you enjoyed it yet?
So the first bite, well, first I had to go back through the drive-thru and just ask for sauce.
Okay.
Which was hard to explain because the cashier was a different cashier now. So I said, I just ordered the Cheetos chicken fries, but I did not get any sauce. And she charged me for Cheetos chicken fries when I pulled up. She wanted me to pay. And I was like, no. And I showed her the bag. I said, no, I've done this already. I just need something to dip them in because it says, what does it say in the box? Dip with both paws. So I was ready for the dipping experience. So I got my barbecue sauce, pulled into the same spot again. Made a loop. So I pulled into a spot and they were the smell was good. It smelled like fried food. That's good stuff. Took a bite. It was fine. It seemed like comfort food. I like fried foods. I had three of them, and I still have scratches on my tongue and on the roof of my mouth because I think that they have overfried these.
That makes sense.
They're too aggressive.
Okay.
On the inside of your mouth.
How many came in the box?
Nine.
Okay.
So I had three, and that left six, and there's a couple left.
So you still have six now?
Not anymore. I keep showing them to people, so they're like in the bag, and then I throw one away.
How old are the chicken fries at this point?
From 6 o'clock tonight.
All right.
Yeah, you don't want these.
No, I don't want them in general, yeah.
But here was the other serious mistake I made. Because I had not been in a drive-thru of a Burger King in years, I saw all these hot dogs on there, and I thought, well, I wonder what those are like.
No.
So bad.
Yeah, that has to be awful.
Oh.
They look terrible.
Oh, I'm like getting, it's like already coming back up. It was 6 hours ago.
Okay.
Complete salt bites. First of all, I knew I was in the wrong place when there were no poppies on my bun. No poppy seeds. It's just a soggy bun. Oh, and I didn't just get a hot dog. I got a chili cheese hot dog.
I was going to ask you, how is it prepared?
Flinched.
Yeah, I did flinch. Do they make a Chicago hot dog or no?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know what the other one is.
Yeah.
I think there's a chili cheese dog.
I remember that they started promoting that a little while ago, and it seemed like a terrible decision.
This is not a good place for this.
Right. Is it a grilled hot dog at least?
Yes.
Okay.
What difference does it make if it's just...
I don't know. No difference at all.
I didn't mean to make that noise.
That's fine.
It was
I miss Burger King.
Yeah, me mm-hmm. too. I like their Whoppers.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the Whoppers.
They have really good burgers.
But I think the chicken, yes, they have good burgers. They're flame broiled burgers.
Right, all of them.
I think once they get, if the different franchises do this a little bit differently, I think it's fine. It's what you expect. I think that they, because if you over fry it, you're losing the integrity of the Cheeto. You've destroyed the Cheeto. What, Craig? A Cheeto can have integrity.
No, that's absolutely correct. It's a certain cook to the Cheeto that makes it delicious.
Yeah, I mean, if you over fry it.
Right. I've read that before, that you cannot overcook a Cheeto. It ruins everything.
Don't overcook the Cheeto.
Yeah.
I think that was Julia Child's rule.
Right. Martha Stewart has commented as well.
And now I just feel like making my own Cheeto dusted foods. Cheeto dust. I mean, like, the only thing they could have dipped this in was Pepto-Bismol that would have made sense with this. That was okay. So the smell. So I was convinced there was something wrong with my car. Like maybe something had crawled into the fan belt, and then I realized it was this bag. So that's why I made you smell the bag.
From the 773, have you tried the 7-Eleven hot dog?
Yes.
Okay.
Recently, no.
All right, because they claim that the Burger King hot dog is worse than the 7-Eleven hot dog on a spindle.
I would have to agree with that.
Wow.
Yeah, I've had the 7. I mean, years ago.
That is low, not praise at all.
I worked at because they have it on that like that little hot dog rotator. They just spin it around and around. You don't know how many hours it's been there. I've also had the 7-Eleven flautas. So
I had the flautas
or taquitos.
Right. Taquitos.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've done that before.
I like the buffalo chicken one.
Ooh, that was good.
I know.
Mm-hmm. See? So we are not fast food snobs.
No.
We will eat the fast food.
Esmeralda doesn't sound as much of a fan.
I don't eat the rolling meats. I'll eat the sandwiches. Like, I'll eat a chicken salad sandwich from 7-Eleven.
Right.
Or a tuna.
Right.
Or an egg salad.
What are your feelings about Wendy's?
Oh, no. Wendy's is on the top.
Yeah, see?
Wendy's
Everybody
is
likes
top
a Wendy's.
Of fast food.
And they never take these risks. Wendy's never comes out with a crazy product.
No. When was it? The only transition they've really made is the Frosty to a milkshake, right? And you can still get a Frosty. So it's
and those
fine.
Chicken nuggets, oh boy, mm-hmm. They're so good.
See, and yeah, they never try to like. He's right, Craig. You're right. They don't try to. Throw
I think
in...
a lot of people regard Wendy's as one of the better fast food places, and they never go crazy. They never throw the zany option out there.
Plus, although I don't like their fries. They're too soggy for me.
Okay, that's another thing I was thinking about today, because I love fries. That's the whole, I guess, the chicken fry draw, is that it's chicken, but it's like a fry, but it's not a fry, so stop it.
I tried the originals once, thinking, oh, I like, they'll be crispy, and the, no, gross. Right. I did not like them from Burger King.
Shouldn't they be called chicken sticks, so you're not mentally thinking you're having a fry? Wouldn't chicken sticks, like they're French toast sticks, wouldn't that go in with their entire genre? I think that would work out fine. Because I like fries. I like waffle fries. I like shoestring fries. I like McDonald's fries. You're right, though. The Wendy's fries, I think, are kind of mushy on the inside.
Yeah, they're not good. Burger King.
Yeah.
Don't they coat them? I think they coat them in flour or something.
Hmm.
They're good, though. They're nice
but not
and crispy.
Cheetos.
No, they should do that next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what my suggestion is to not leave the Cheetos chicken fries in the fryer for so long.
By the way, the 331 hates us. They
Why?
Say that they want chicken Cheeto fries now, but there's no 24-hour BK near them. So they hate us.
Where's the 331? Is that Wisconsin?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I think that might be Illinois somewhere.
Hmm. Well, I believe the one on Western and it's Irving Park Road near Western. No, Irving Park Road near California. I do believe that one is 24 hours. If
honestly,
not.
You can make your own.
I know.
Get some chicken tenders, crush up some Cheetos, done.
Is the far west suburbs and DuPage County.
Hmm. Yeah. Tomorrow, though, it's not that far away. Although I was surprised that they had them because in all the newspaper articles, it said that this was beginning on September 14th. So please do not go in and say, Patty Vasquez said she had Cheetos chicken fries. I demand my Cheetos chicken fries. And we are suggesting that if you do go with dipping, and you probably should because it says dip with both paws. I don't know. You know what? Ask for more than one. I think, why didn't I just do that? Then that might have changed my experience altogether. But Esmeralda might be right. I had wished I had had the sweet and sour, is it honey mustard? Yes, that would have been a better choice for me altogether. It's time in just a moment for Give Me Something Good. Give me the good stuff. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Give us a call or text us. Tell us something good. How was your weekend? How was your Monday? More after this on 720 WGN. We're so happy to be winding down. I'm glad that you joined us tonight. I was just watching some people. I was going to tell you what I'm happy about, but then I was like so happy that there are people out on Michigan Avenue, and it made me think of what I'm happy about tonight. 312-981-7200. Tell us something good tonight. I am so happy with how beautiful this weather is. This is absolutely perfect. It's not autumnal. It's not spring. It's perfect. Esmeralda, isn't this about the sweet spot for weather?
I'm wearing pants.
I'm saying, right? Right? Wear pants. Does that make you happy to wear pants?
Yes.
You could have worn pants when it was hot. I would just be uncomfortable.
Ugh. Yeah, no, I don't want to be uncomfortable.
No, all right.
I want to be comfortable and wear pants.
Well, it's a lovely weather tonight. It's a kind of like sitting out on the back porch. I think I'm going to go home. I'm going to stop at Wendy's on the way home and grab myself some chicken nuggets, maybe a Frosty. By the way, do you dip your chicken nuggets in the Frosty?
No, the fries.
Okay.
No. The correct answer is yes, although I can't do that anymore. Chicken nugget in Frosty is lovely.
How about fries? You can have fries.
Yeah, you can do fries, but the chicken nugget is an underestimated Frosty option.
I think so, too. Yeah. It's like a spoon.
It's exactly like a spoon. You get the Frosty, you say no to dip.
It's all good stuff.
Yep.
It's very good. Anything good, Craig?
Yeah, I can't think of anything.
I should
prepare for this.
No, I was thinking about it today too. Like I felt very nervous for Griffin because he's started high school, and I was trying to think like, is it something with Griffin? And like when I was asking you, I'm like, I didn't say everybody be ready, so I didn't mean to put you on the spot. So if you have anything, just jump in. Cause, by the way, did you see the pictures of Hannah Stanley's her Brave birthday party for her daughter?
Amazing.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. She had the Macintosh cheese.
Betty took her first college quiz as a United States citizen and got an A+.
Very cool.
So I'm very happy for her.
What was a quiz in?
It was a computer sciences quiz.
Oh, it's not easy.
No.
Not good. That's very hard stuff.
She's one of the best in the class.
Ah.
No, look at that.
Be careful. She's got a target on her back now. Just watch out. People are going to be asking her for her notes in class. Esmeralda, do you have anything good for us?
I cleaned my house. I vacuumed.
I'm jealous.
And it was so gross because you would vacuum and you hear like dirt being sucked in.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so satisfying. So I'm like, now it's clean.
It is a satisfying thing. Do you have a lot of clutter? I don't remember you having a lot of clutter in your place.
Yeah, I have piles of things. if mainly in my room of clothes.
I have
and laundry.
By the way, you posted something on Facebook that I'm trying to appreciate. Is this a worm compost situation?
Oh my gosh, yes. So I, for some reason, I get into these kicks of like, I need to be green.
Right.
But I can't really to the point of composting because I don't have a backyard. I don't have even like a balcony or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be perfect. It's like a desktop thing and there's worms in it.
In your
house.
And
it makes compost. Yeah. But it supposedly doesn't smell and you put little like covers on it. So...
it's in your house.
Yeah, but you're just composting vegetables, right. Coffee, eggshells.
Right, how far can they get?
The worms eat it, and mm-hmm. then it turns into dirt.
Craig, you have to go to Esmeralda. Do you see Esmeralda's page where she's got this compost?
I'm trying to look it up now.
Yeah, it's a composting, desktop composting.
Yeah, I've been for a while trying to figure out how I could do small...
Composting.
Well, without a yard.
I try to create my own. I got a big, garbage can, a Rubbermaid garbage can. We poked holes in it, and that was supposed to do stuff. And we started out throwing things in there all the time. You know what was supposed to be compostable, I guess, and like banana peels and eggshells and coffee grinds and stuff like that. I haven't looked at it in a long time.
FYI, you got to throw. There's like some sort of liquid,
to
throw in there. You got to mix it around. My parents have one. In the backyard, they have a big old thing.
Do they have a tumbler?
Of the house.
Do they have a thing where they?
No, it's just like a big box that they bought that's for composting.
Do they have worms in there, or do they have a mix?
No, it's just mix.
Craig, how you doing with the worms?
I'm doing okay. You know, if we talk about Esmeralda posts, we should also talk about the Ultimate Fort because that looks incredible. What's I know it? That's a little bit older.
Oh, the tent.
The tent fort.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, with the tunnels.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all connect. One. Yes, mm-hmm. I would go camping all the time if that's how
I would
tents
live in
worked.
This. Yeah, this is amazing.
And I do like, I think we just need a night of going through Esmeralda's posts. Esmeralda also left the store with a security tag.
Oh my God. That was so embarrassing.
Why? It's not your fault?
No, but it was embarrassing because I noticed it maybe halfway through the day.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't notice it immediately.
You just thought they were just tied around the cuff on your ankle.
Yeah. And it looked like I had like a brace, like one of those tracker things.
Hey, Esmeralda. Can you explain why you've had enough?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And then I YouTubed it and I figured out how to pop it off on my own.
Oh, I didn't understand that post. That's the security device?
That's the security device.
Oh, you didn't go back and get it done at the store?
No, because I was like, forget it. I'll just do it myself.
But what if there had been like a dye in there?
Apparently they don't have that anymore.
They don't have the
dye? All
right.
It's all noises and things.
I did not put those two things
together.
By the
way, I went into the market because I was in Lincoln Square. I went to German Fest.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the market jeans and the thing went off as I was leaving. And I'm like, I have a thing on my leg.
I didn't. I'm not under house arrest at the store.
Right. It was like very embarrassing.
Oh, man. And then also thank you for posting the things that you would know if you're between the ages of 32 and 39.
Oh,
I ordered my Umbro shorts last night.
Oh, there you go.
I did. $12.50. Free shipping.